Like to call Chuck up this morning. Chuck, if you looked in your bulletin this morning, has been a teacher and administrator at Houghton College, I believe for 38 years, now retired from there. But I don't think just retired. I think he stays pretty busy. But Chuck and his wife, Clayda, have been very dedicated to developing and encouraging ministry in the Buffalo area, in the city there. They've lived in the city. Both of them, I believe, have had some significant responsibilities. So Chuck's going to share with us a little bit. Many of you that are here remember when there was Westside Mennonite Church in Buffalo. Some of you are newer here and may not remember that congregation, but it was a church that was planted there by New York Mennonite Conference, and some of you in this congregation had the opportunity to connect there and help that congregation get their building ready and kind of get off the ground. And now that congregation is no longer there. But Chuck says, not so fast. So he's going to share with us a little bit this morning about what has come out of Westside, remind us of maybe what kind of involvements we've had there, and I think in particular to remind us to celebrate how God has been at work and continues to be at work. So Chuck, if you'd come up, we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Six weeks ago, I had the opportunity to give a presentation to a group of Wesleyans in Buffalo at a pre-session before the General Conference of the Wesleyan Church. My remarks, titled Faithful Presence, the Past Quarter Century in Buffalo, New York, were tailored to that Wesleyan audience. But much of what I had to share with them, in all likelihood, would be better understood by you. My interest in urban ministry began in the early 1980s, shortly after relocating from Houghton, New York, to West Seneca to begin work at the Buffalo suburban campus of Houghton College. In November of 1984, I participated in an urban ethnic study conference in Jersey City, New Jersey. When I returned to West Seneca after the study conference, I expected a grand plan to be developed from on high, which meant, of course, the General Conference of the Wesleyan Church. I thought that's where all great plans came from. And I expected that there would be immediate results that would impact the college and Western New York and the city of Buffalo. 5 years later, when my wife Clayda and I moved into Buffalo, one was hard-pressed to find any discernible Wesleyan presence in the city. I must confess that 27 years ago, when I moved to the city, I was looking for a magic formula, a quick fix, a plan to be fully implemented in one quadrennial. Like politicians, we've got to get it done before the next election. I hadn't thought much about how long it might take to earn the trust of people who looked and lived differently than I, or how slowly change occurs, especially for dysfunctional families and chaotic neighborhoods or fledgling urban church plants. I hadn't considered the advantages of a focused effort over a scattershot approach, especially when resources are scarce, or the importance of finding other faith-based ministries or community organizations to work with who might share our concerns. I didn't realize how little I knew about my city or how much time it would take to get to know it well. And I didn't know that the city could become my city, and that I could come to love it and its people. I hadn't appreciated one of the key findings from that urban ethnic study conference. An urban ethnic ministry is a long-term project. Buffalo was a very different place in 1989 than it is today. The downward spiral that had begun in the 1950s was hitting bottom. Hopelessness and despair were commonplace. Youth who could were fleeing the city, and refugees arriving in small numbers joined the flight as quickly as they could. There was nothing romantic about the Rust Belt. Without a Wesleyan alternative to choose from in 1989, we began a search for a church home in the city that eventually brought us to a small church plant on the west side with lots of idealistic, young, in my early 40s, I was one of the old guys, white, college-educated evangelicals who were committed to following Jesus, standing for justice, and loving the poor, at least in theory. Westside Church of the Living Word Mennonite. Later, Westside Mennonite Church. Located first in the CEM, that's Christian Ecumenical Ministries building on Lafayette Avenue, where meetings were held on Saturday nights. Later, at St. Mary's on the Hill, an Episcopal church on Vermont Street. And then at Duval College on Porter Avenue. Later at Lafayette Presbyterian in the basement. And finally, at 184 Barton Street. It was a bumpy 18-year ride, and the church didn't survive. Or did it? Here are some of the organizations and programs that have roots in that effort. The Jericho Road Community Health Center, with its clinical operations, community programs, and now global initiatives. Westside Ministries, recently renamed 716 Ministries because it's reaching beyond the West Side. River Rock Church, Peace of the City Ministries, Houghton College City programs, including Wesley Service Corps, and Sojourners Mennonite Fellowship in Belfast, New York. The case can also be made that the Wesleyan presence in Buffalo today had its roots in this little Mennonite church plant. Sometimes, if you put down roots and stay around long enough, you get to see it all play out. The life, the death, and the resurrection. In his book, To Change the World, sociologist James Davison Hunter builds a case for what he calls faithful presence, arguing that as Christians partner with their communities, the church can contribute to the flourishing of all. He states, a theology of faithful presence calls Christians to enact the shalom of God in the circumstances in which God has placed them, and to actively seek it on behalf of others. A premise of this view is the recognition that Christians share a world with others and that they must contribute to its overall flourishing. The following is a quick look at four individuals with ties back to that Westside Mennonite church, that little church that some think didn't survive, whose lives illustrate what faithful presence looks like in Buffalo, New York. I'll start with the one of the four that I know best, since we've been married for 50 years now. Cleta Price Massey. As educators, Cleta and I moved into Buffalo in 1989 to engage more fully with a project to save a beautiful and historic former Catholic Church building and adapt the structure for use as a model early childhood school. Westside Mennonite became our church home. While the context was significantly different, we found comfort and challenge in the prophet Jeremiah's instruction to the Jewish exiles in Babylon. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. With a background in early childhood education and more than a decade as a member of the education faculty at Houghton College, Cleta was asked to serve with the King Urban Life Center Advisory Group, developing plans for a model program to be housed in the former church building. This church is the old St. Mary of Sorrows on Genesee Street, very near to the Buffalo Museum of Science. When restoration and renovation efforts were delayed due to funding shortfalls, she led the effort to create a pilot program in collaboration with Buffalo Public School 90. She then used her Houghton and King Center connections to establish working relationships with Scholastic, Kodak, and 9X corporations to develop and field test an electronic portfolio for use in elementary schools. Construction work was completed in 1998, and an annex of School 90 opened at the former church building, now known as the King Center. The need for greater autonomy to create a model program led the King Center to pursue authorization to establish a charter school, and Cleta was asked to lead the effort. She left a tenured teaching position at Houghton College to find out if the education theory that she had espoused for years really worked in the city. Maybe, maybe not. The King Center Charter School was the first charter school in Buffalo. It opened in August 2000 with 80 students in kindergarten through third grade. And on the second day of operation, Governor George Pataki showed up because he seemed to have some political interest in what was happening with charter schools. 13 years later, when she retired as director of the school, King Center Charter School was home to 260 students in kindergarten through sixth grade, with authorization to expand to eighth grade. There were also 15 other charter schools serving nearly 8,000 students in the Buffalo area. June 13, 2013, was proclaimed Dr. Cleta P. Massey Day by Buffalo Mayor Byron W. Brown, and the Buffalo News carried a feature article the following day with a caption reading, "She Built a Better School." But in this school, serving an overwhelmingly poor and minority population, it was the children in their letters of appreciation at her retirement who best captured the impact Cleta made. Here are some examples. Dr. Massey protects us and uses caring words and actions. She is beautiful. Naya, grade one. Dr. Massey is special to me because she shakes my Myron is a 1988 graduate of Houghton College who went off to med. And to that little Mennonite church that may or may not have survived. After his residency, he and his wife Joyce returned to Buffalo to establish Jericho Road Family Practice. In selecting Myron and Joyce as outstanding citizens of 2013, the Buffalo News stated, about 90% of the 1,300 immigrants and refugees who come to Buffalo annually, as well as another 500 people who move to the city from other locations in the United States, settle on the west side. Many of them will find their way to Jericho Road Community Health Center, founded by Dr. Myron and Joyce Glick in 1997. The Glicks are quick to say their success has depended on dedicated co-workers and supporters. But Jericho Road's success, how it has affected so many lives for the better, couldn't have been done without them. Today, Jericho Road Community Health Center operates medical clinics on both the east and west sides of Buffalo, serving over 12,000 patients. More than half speak languages other than English. It also provides community programs addressing a wide range of needs, including legal services and temporary housing for asylum seekers, mentoring of at-risk pregnant refugee women, English classes for adult learners, in-home early childhood development, outreach educating families on healthy living environments, mentoring of economically disadvantaged women, financial education and planning for families, and a client-driven help center for refugees. In February 2015, in the midst of the Ebola outbreak, Jericho Road's Adama Martha Memorial Community Health Center opened in Kono District, Sierra Leone, Africa. Plans are currently being finalized to open a medical clinic in Goma, Democratic Republic of Congo, within the next year. John Lee. John and Sue Lee found their way to the church that may or may not have survived in 2000 when their daughter was leading worship there doing an urban service term between college and graduate school. Suburban folk with strong ties to the Wesleyan Church of Hamburg, they attended their home church's Saturday evening service and came to the city to worship on Sunday mornings. After nearly 30 years with Praxair Corporation, John brought a wealth of business experience and management skills along with a passion for ministry. Within a relatively short period of time, he had assessed the needs of the church and community, evaluated best practices for responding to needs, and developed a 2-year plan for addressing the situation. 14 years later, John is still working to implement the 2-year plan. And he appreciates that an urban ethnic ministry is a long-term project. Since retiring from Praxair in 2004, John has expanded his ministry involvement and is engaged with multiple nonprofit boards. For example, Jericho Road Community Health Center, Wesleyan Church of Hamburg, Westside Ministries, and Houghton College, with a focus on collaborative work in Buffalo. John's global business experience and extensive international travel with Praxair have provided a foundation for cross-cultural awareness needed for his work on the Jericho Road Board. Wesleyan Church of Hamburg is a major financial contributor to Jericho Road. Westside Ministries provides building management services for, among others, Jericho Road. And Houghton College graduates now work at Jericho Road and Westside Ministries. Recently, John added World Hope International to his board commitments. World Hope International provided the well for Jericho Road's Adama Martha Memorial Community Health Center when it opened in Kono in Sierra Leone. I don't think all of this was included in John's original 2-year plan. Anna Medieva. I met Anna Medieva during her first year at Houghton College when she assumed a leadership role with the Journeys In tutoring program and helped coordinate the effort that brought a busload of college students to Buffalo on Saturdays to tutor in the homes of recently arrived refugees. A year later, she spent a summer working with the Jumpstart program, providing academic enrichment for refugee children in the Buffalo Public Schools. After graduation in the spring of 2010, Anna came back to Buffalo to spend a year in service through Wesley Service Corps with the goal of establishing an English for Speakers of Other Languages program, primarily for women who were not well served by the traditional programs available in the city. Today, 6 years later, the program Anna developed operates as one of Jericho Road's community programs and provides practical, conversational English language instruction for isolated refugee adults who lack opportunities to learn English. Classes take place in learners' homes primarily, are co-taught by pairs of volunteers, and cover a number of life skills topics, such as making phone calls, asking for directions, or describing symptoms during a doctor's visit. By creating opportunities for learners to improve their confidence, willingness, and ability to use English in everyday situations, they are empowered to live more fully as members of their community. Over the past year, classes were offered, and 225 students served. In addition to developing and leading the program, Anna has also completed her master's degree in ESOL at the University of Buffalo. Clayda, Myron, John, and Anna, all impacted by that little church, have invested a combined total of 77 years in our city, and all are still engaged. Buffalo, as a result, is a better place, and many more people are flourishing today than in 1989. Education, health, economic and spiritual needs have been addressed, and Jesus' unconditional love has been demonstrated. But as I have reflected on the short life of Westside Mennonite Church in preparation for being here with you today, there are several other people who have come to mind who are very much a part of this story. And there are at least a couple lessons that may be of importance for us as we look to the future. When Westside began under the leadership of Bob Tice, a part of the vision was for us to become a multicultural, multi-ethnic, you can see it was a bunch of college kids sitting around talking here, multicultural, multi-ethnic, intergenerational, and socioeconomically diverse church. But as I described earlier, we were young, white, college-educated evangelicals who were committed to following Jesus, standing for justice, and loving the poor. Most had Houghton College or InterVarsity Christian Fellowship connections, a fair amount of passion, and little or no experience. It wasn't until after significant disagreement regarding leadership and a split that occurred and the arrival of Neff and Gracie Torres at Westside that we began to connect with our neighbors and realize some of the diversity we had envisioned. It should also be noted that when Bob Tice had another opportunity to plant what became River Rock Church under the auspices of the Assemblies, from its beginning, it has been a model of diversity. We also had the opportunity to practice sharing when John Powell came to Buffalo to take a position that split his time between the Mennonite Board of Missions and the Houghton College Pastoral and Church Ministries Program, an effort that served several hundred, mostly East Side African-American students over nearly 20 years. And many of those folk are still active in ministry, primarily on the East Side in Buffalo today. Shirley Powell, John's wife, founded Westside Ministries, and her work with Mennonite volunteers was the inspiration for the rapid expansion of the Houghton College community service programs beginning around 2000. After Neff and Gracie moved back to Puerto Rico due to Neff's illness, and John and Shirley moved to Michigan to be closer to family and to accommodate his full-time work with the Mennonite Board of Missions, and Connie Finney moved to Belfast to be near her work at Houghton College, Joe Haynes, who some of you may know, shepherded the little remaining flock as it struggled to bring an orderly end and dispose of its property and debts without further burdening the New York Conference or its Barton Street neighborhood. Joe was gracious and wise and patient and loving. All things a pastor dealing with a death needs to be. And while painful, the end was about as good as you could have hoped. I'm the kind of person who wants answers and is inclined to affix blame. And sometimes I think I know too much of the story. But two things have helped bring me peace and restore my hope. The first was Gene Miller's refusal after stepping into leadership in the New York Conference to allow animosities to go unchallenged. And the service of forgiveness and reconciliation that he led at River Rock several years ago was an incredible blessing. The other thing that's helped me, and I've looked at this story closely over a number of months, and particularly this past week, it's the account of the disagreement between Barnabas and Paul recorded in Acts 15, 36 to 41. Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit all our friends in each of the towns where we preach the word of God. Let's see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John along, the John nicknamed Mark, but Paul wouldn't have him. He wasn't about to take along a quitter who, as soon as the going got tough, had jumped ship on them in Pamphylia. Tempers flared, and they ended up going their separate ways. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and, offered up by their friends to the grace of the master, went to Syria and Cilicia to build up muscle and sinew in those congregations. They disagreed. Tempers flared. They went their separate ways. And nowhere in Scripture are we told anything about who was right and who was wrong. It appears that the work of both was blessed. On most Sunday mornings, Clayton Massey worships at True Bethel Baptist Church on the Buffalo East Side. And Myron Glick worships at River Rock. And John Lee worships at the Wesleyan Church of Hamburg. And Anna Medieva worships at the Vineyard in Buffalo. But all of them are engaged in service in the city of Buffalo because Mennonites in western New York took a risk on an urban church plant. Your work is still bearing fruit. Thank you. And although I'm a Wesleyan who worships regularly at a Black Baptist church in Buffalo, I have been blessed and encouraged by my Mennonite friends. Gene Miller stays in touch and always seems open to explore ways to help. He arranged not too long ago for Troy Watson to spend regular time in Buffalo, helping a small group of young people wrestling with Anabaptists for urban service. Connie Finney, who some of you know, was my student before she became my colleague at Houghton College, and she lived with Clayton and me in Buffalo for 10 years while she was becoming a Mennonite and before moving to Belfast. And this coming Wednesday morning, I'll be having coffee at Grindhouse Cafe on Allen Street with Rod McCallum to talk about Anabaptist values and an Anabaptist voice for Buffalo as we face the challenges and opportunities of today. And every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, there's a group of 10 to 15, mostly 20-somethings, who meet for Sing and Pray. We sing songs from the Mennonite hymnals, and after about 45 minutes to an hour of singing, we have a time of prayer. This has been going on for at least 6 years and just keeps going. The spirit of Westside Mennonite is very much alive today. The glory be to God. Thank you.